Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of an amazing series of studies, very practical teaching on stewardship. Our topic today, stewards after Eden. What does it mean to be a steward of God and a steward of the mysteries of God? You'll learn more as we study together today on Hope Sabbath School. So welcome, and welcome to our team. Great series of studies. Yes. I'm just learning so much. I wondered, sounds boring, but it's actually very practical and affects every area of our lives. So we're glad you're with us. We've got some emails to share from around the world. We know we have Hope Sabbath School members in about 150 countries. If we haven't heard from you, we'd love to hear. Write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Thanks for writing. Reverend Premnath from India, thank you for writing. And he says, dear sir, well, dear everybody, I'm extremely blessed by your teaching of the Bible. I am a pastor for a Baptist church in South India. More than 1,000 members. And I love Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
God bless you all. Well, Pastor, God bless you in your ministry there in the south of India as you share the good news about Jesus with your people. Here's a note from Cyprane in Cameroon. That's a new name for me, Cyprane. Greetings.
Greetings.
All right. I love the program. It inspires me to be closer to Jesus.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Cyprane. That's a simple message, but it's a life-saving message. We're glad you wrote to us. Donna writes from Virginia in the United States of America. Anyone from Virginia? Anyone been to Virginia? All right. Almost everybody. God called me, she writes, out of darkness and into his marvelous light. The darkness was so dark, it was almost insanity. He lifted me out and drew me so close, I feel very special.
Amen.
I know he loves me. I pray this week for everyone. I'm so thankful for Hope Sabbath School. I watch it two or three times a week.
Amen.
We're having Bible studies in my home in the mornings, and I am keeping my eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
I'm very thankful. This is someone who's been called out of darkness, right? I'm very thankful to God, and Hope Sabbath School reaffirms my hope. Please pray for me and my family. God bless you. Amen?
Amen.
Donna, we are encouraged by your email, and we will pray for you and your family. And you know, when God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which is the light of Jesus, he wants us to bring that light to others, to shine the light of Jesus through us. So thanks for being part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Well, here's just a note from someone who sent a significant donation to Hope Sabbath School to help fund this ministry. By the way, we are a faith-based ministry, and we're thankful for your support. And I won't mention your name, but she writes to us and says, I love Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
And sent a gift to make Hope Sabbath School possible.
Amen.
So thanks to each one of you who may be supporting on a regular basis this global ministry. God's changing hearts, and we're thankful for your support. One last note from Zuko. Zuko in South Africa. I like that name. I consider myself a Hope Sabbath School member. Your programs, as well as the Holy Spirit, have taught me a lot about Jesus. Thank you for your continual prayers for me and my family, and continue to share the Word of God through this media and stay blessed. Well, Zuko, we will pray for you and for your family. And I love what you said. You said the way that Hope Sabbath School and the Holy Spirit have taught me about Jesus, because really, we're just instruments of God. We're saying, God, use us. And we're so excited when you write and say, and God's using me too where I am, to share the good news about Jesus. And you know, when we experience that, we just want to praise him, which is what our theme song is about for this series. It's from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. It's a very cheerful song. You can download the MP3 file and the sheet music from hopetv.org/hopeSS. That's our website. I hope you've learned it already. Let's sing it together.
Praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvels.
will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell about your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
You know, that's such a cheerful song. That scripture song was written 3,000 years ago, but we lost the tune, so my wife wrote a tune so we could keep singing it. But it's just so cheerful. I just want to keep singing it, you know. If you wake up in the morning and your first thoughts are, I will praise you, O Lord, that's awesome, mm-hmm. with my whole heart. And as we study today, stewards after Eden, what does it mean to be a steward of God, and especially a steward of the mysteries of God? Mm-hmm. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. We invite you to join us as we pray together. Father in heaven, where Hope Sabbath School members all around the world were wanting to listen to your voice and your word, what does it mean to be a faithful steward of the resources you've given to us, both tangible and intangible resources? We want to understand that. Teach us by your Spirit as we open your word today. May lives be blessed forever. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to start in the book of Beginnings, Genesis chapter 2, as we look at a few passages. And I'm actually going to ask us to read these three stories without any comment. And then I want you to say, what do they all have in common? Because it's all about stewards. Mm-hmm. All right? And then we'll look in the New Testament. So, Stephanie, just one verse in Genesis 2:15. It's the first time the idea of us being asked to be a steward comes up.
All right. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
Does anyone have another translation to dress it?
That's work it.
To work it, Nicole?
To tend?
Take care of it.
Take care of it. I like that translation. Mm-hmm. So there's this idea that the garden doesn't belong to you, right? Oh, I'm starting to do a commentary. Sorry. All right. Genesis 24. Verses 1 to 4, Andre, if you have that.
Yes,
I do. These are just three little narratives. Genesis 24, 1 to 4.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, Please put your hand under my thigh. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to find my family and take a wife for my son, Isaac.
Mm-hmm. All right. So before we comment, we'll go to the next text, Genesis 39, Kyle, verses 1 to 4. And then I see your mind's already thinking, what do these three have in common, Kyle?
Okay, Genesis 39, 1 to 4, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority.
Wow. Everything. Okay. What do you see that they have in common? Sierra? They've all got work to do, right? Gary?
It's not theirs.
It's not theirs.
Responsibility.
It's a responsibility. Mm-hmm. What else do you see?
They were accountable for something.
They were accountable for what they were to care for. Okay. Anybody else?
They were ruling over all.
They were ruling over all. Okay.
They were in charge.
You know, one's a slave, another is a... I don't know. Abraham was a pretty important fellow coming out of Ur. The other one's Adam.
Brandon.
So could you conclude that wherever we are, we're called to be a steward of some things?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anybody else? What do you learn? Gary?
There's a trust relationship. between the giver and the one responsible.
Wow, that's true. Really true, isn't it? With Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. Find a spouse for my son Isaac. Mm-hmm. Don't just go out to the pagan tribes around here. All right, trust relationship, Andre?
There's an expectation of honesty.
An expectation of honesty. Mm. All right.
Integrity.
The trust is already there, but there's an accountability and an expectation of honesty. Mm-hmm. So if we just took that, we would say, what do we know about stewardship? Well, we're all called to be stewards somewhere, right?
Right.
And God, it's a trust relationship. There's accountability. Let's go over to the New Testament now and look in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. We're going to come back to verse 1 a little later in our study, but just verse 2. Chickens, do you have that? 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2.
I'll be reading from the New International Version. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful."
All right. Another translation? Any other words? Those who...
Required. What's required in a steward.
Oh, does it mention the word steward in yours? Mm-hmm. Okay. That they must be found...
Faithful.
Faithful. So that comes back to this idea of accountability and trust, right? And expectation. So let's look at a story in Matthew 25. It's a parable, and we're not going to read the whole parable. It's the parable. You'll see it, and you'll be very familiar with it, Matthew 25. But we're just looking at verses 14 and 15. Sean,
sure.
You know the story. What's the parable?
I prefer to read it, but it's about a man who left. He was traveling away. The Lord left, and he was able to distribute to his servants talents.
Correct.
Each one got a specific amount.
All right. And a talent, just in case you may not know, it was a monetary measure. It was 6,000 days' wages.
Wow.
So that's 20 years' wages.
Wow.
So the one who only gets one talent and complains has a problem. Okay? The other guy got 40 years' wages. The other guy got 100 years' wages.
Wow.
But we're not here to study the passage right now, but simply to come to verses 14 and 15, Sean.
Okay.
What's that part that we can learn about being a steward?
So I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey."
Mm. What do you learn? Yes, Andre?
There's an investment that's made by the master.
Okay, an investment is made. By the way, he doesn't place any expectation on them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right, what else do you learn? Yes, Sean?
He knew their ability.
Ah, so you're saying to one he may give more?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a text that says to whom much is given?
Much is expected.
All right, so we ought not to complain if someone's got 5 times what we do, because we're only expected to use what's given to us. But you're saying the master knew?
Yes.
So that in love, he doesn't overload anybody.
That's
5, 2, 1, okay. What else do you learn, Tiggis?
He trusted them.
Yes.
He did. Now, I love that word trust is coming back over and over in our study today. You know, you say, well, he only gave him one. Yes, 20 years' wages. He trusted him, okay. Jonathan?
Just that he gave it to them and then he left. So he really left the decisions up to them. So he wasn't constantly telling them what to do.
Well, you know, we have a... in English, we have an expression, he didn't micromanage them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In other words, oh, don't turn left, don't do that. Mm-hmm. No. He trusted them and he gave them a lot of
freedom.
Yeah. Latitude to be able to say, use the resources wisely.
Right.
Anybody else? Yes. All right, let's keep going. Here's another story in Luke 16, Jesus told about someone who was not a faithful steward. Nicole, in Luke, I'm not suggesting that was you, by the way. That's something like not a faithful steward, Nicole. Luke 16, 1 to 3, is a story. Some of it's a little difficult, but we'll read it carefully, and let's see what we can learn about what it means to be a faithful steward.
So I'm reading Luke 16, verses 1 to 13.
1 through 13.
Okay, and I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest is with very little will also be dishonest with very much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is so much in that story, and some of it's a little difficult to understand. But let's go back to the very beginning. What is, by this story's definition, what is the definition of an unfaithful manager?
This very deceitful.
Deceitful mm-hmm. and?
Lazy in completing their duties.
Yeah. Lazy, and there was a word that was used there.
Call them shrews.
Shortcuts.
There was a word used at the beginning.
Oh.
Wasteful.
Wasteful.
Wasteful. Yes. We talked about accountability earlier. You've been given this, and you wasted it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you say, well, I didn't get quite as much return, Lord, as I was hoping. That we're not talking about that. You be faithful in what he's given you, but being wasteful, right? Now, we, in a previous study in this series, talked about the ways of the world to find security mm-hmm. by being dishonest and trying to manipulate and even set people up to blackmail them. And, you know, that's all the ways of the world. Our security is in God. Yeah. So we don't want to focus on the bad ways here. But what could we learn? What is the Lord saying to us if by the way, the Lord is also a man of this world, because he commends a dishonest person. So neither of them are godly people. But if they're saying stewards should be productive,
then we should be productive.
How much more should the children of light
right.
be serious about what they're doing, right? So here's this story. You say, well, why did Jesus tell that? Well, what are some of the resources that are given to us? We'll come to that in the next section. But scan with me your knowledge of the New Testament now, because we're in the New Testament. Who are some people that were given resources that you think really used them faithfully? Yes. Who comes to your mind, Kyle?
Nicodemus.
Okay.
To mind.
Poor or rich?
Rich.
Yeah.
And
what? How does he? What? This is interesting for those who may have missed it. If you missed earlier in this series, by the way, go to hopetv.org/hopeSS, because there's some really important study about tangible and intangible resources. Tangible resources would include
houses.
Our money and
property.
Our houses and our cars and all of that tangible. Intangible resources could be
knowledge.
A time and
talents.
Talents, our influence, yeah. mm-hmm. Our knowledge,
mm-hmm.
right? All of those are intangible. Mm-hmm. So here's Nicodemus. In what ways was Nicodemus wealthy?
Well, we know he was wealthy because he was a member of the Jewish ruling
Sanhedrin.
So he was well off. He had a lot of influence as well. So wealthy in money, wealthy in influence and power. And we know that, you know, once he learned about Jesus, you remember John 3, you know, where he's talking
meets
to Jesus.
Him in the night, meets him in the night, right? You must be born again.
But he began over time to be a more ardent follower of Jesus and used his influence later, even towards the end of Jesus' life, to try to protect him and continue to be a follower of Jesus.
And even after the death of Jesus, this is profound. Yeah. After all the disciples have run away, who's there?
Nicodemus.
Nicodemus with another wealthy man named
Joseph.
Joseph of Arimathea to take the body of Jesus to embalm him and take him to the tomb. So that's when he had not yet, Jesus was not yet risen from the dead, that this influential man fully committed himself when everybody else was running away. That's amazing, isn't it? You'd call him a faithful steward.
And I think the point is, you know, again, it's not whether you have money or not have money.
Right.
It's where's your heart. And God used Nicodemus in this very influential position to do amazing things for him. And God can use people, whether they have money or not, to be faithful
to
him.
Give me someone in the New Testament that didn't have very much resource that you'd say she was a faithful steward.
I said Mary.
Mary. Yeah. Mary, the mother of Jesus?
Magdalene? Yes, Magdalene.
Okay.
Who took her savings and bought the nard.
And was rebuked for it by a selfish heart.
But I think she was a steward actually of intangibles, her love for Jesus and her appreciation for what he did for her life. And so she took her tangible possessions and used her intangible possessions to really show him and appreciate him.
So would you say she actually anointed him with love?
She did.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
That's beautiful. I was thinking of another woman in the New Testament who didn't have much resource. Andre?
Is that the widow's mite?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's an old English word, but it was a Roman coin called a lepton. It was the smallest copper coin. She had a couple of them. And what does Jesus say? She gave what?
She gave her
all.
More
than all she had.
Lord said, give it all. Trust me. Mm-hmm. She said, okay, Lord. Faithful steward.
Amen.
Anybody else come to your mind? Yes, Eric.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
I think he had one charge too. You know, he was supposed to prepare the way for Christ.
Yes.
And I think according to the story that I've heard, he did it wholeheartedly. He did it like he with all his might, really.
Do you know John the Baptist is my hero? Yeah, second to Jesus. Because all he wants to do is point people to Jesus. I must become less. He was incredibly popular.
Yeah.
But he said, I must become less.
Less.
And he must become more.
Amen.
Even to the dead.
Faithful steward.
Amen.
Yes, that's right. And he had nothing really of the world's goods, did he?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
But Jesus says no greater prophet ever has risen than John the Baptist. Yeah, another one. We're talking about stewardship. We know it involves trust and accountability and for all of us. Gary?
I can't remember her name. I think
we'll
it was
help you.
Dorcas?
Dorcas.
Yeah, I mean, she used her skills to...
Acts chapter 9.
Yeah, help the community, whether it was clothes or, I guess, kindness.
What would you say Dorcas's resources were?
Both intangible and tangible.
What's that?
Both intangible and tangible.
Oh, both tangible and intangible,
generosity.
Okay. What intangible resource did she have?
Generosity.
Her skill.
Generosity.
She had skill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to sew you some clothes. but also her time, someone said. Mm-hmm. And what other intangible resource did she have, Nicole? Thinking about this other story with Mary.
She loved.
Yeah, she loved people.
Yeah.
She had love. She said, I may not have a lot of money, but I know how to sew. Mm-hmm. And when she died, the people around her wept. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I saw your hand, Jonathan.
I was actually thinking of Paul. Just because, I mean, he gave everything. I mean, once he was converted, he was totally sold out. Everything he owned, every bit of time, he was willing to suffer through all these different things. And so, yeah, I feel like he was totally devoted to his calling.
Whatever resources he had when he'd made his tents and had a little money, or his time, his ability, what special intangible resource did Paul have? He's a teacher.
He's intellect,
right. He could teach the word. He'd been trained under Gamaliel. I mean, we use the expression in English, he was sharp. Mm-hmm. Sharp. And he wanted to use that. So if we just took what we've learned so far, whether Old Testament or New Testament, God gives us resources, both tangible and intangible. And he wants us to use them to honor him and to bless other people, right? Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue our study now. This is an amazing text. And Jonathan, I'm going to ask you to read from 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. And when I read this, it just captured my attention. And I thought, what an honor. What a responsibility, too.
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God.
Mm. Wow. Mm. Yeah. So you say, well, I have some money, I have a house, I could invite people for a prayer meeting or Bible studies. I could use my vehicle to help people that can't go to the store to get groceries. So I've got my tangibles, I've got intangible assets. But Paul's saying one of the most powerful intangible assets you have is what you know about God. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So let's look at a few verses that describe those mysteries, if you will. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And Lavinia, if I could ask you to read that. Colossians 2, verses 1 through 3. We're talking about stewards of the mysteries of God.
Sure. I will be reading from the Christian Standard Bible.
Oh, that's a brand new version of the Bible. I think 2017. So let's see how the translators translate Colossians 2, verses 1 to 3.
Okay. For I want you to know how greatly I am struggling for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
All right, so we've got a little clue here. In the previous verse, it said we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Mm-hmm. And what Lavinia just read, by the way, it's the same author, what she just read tells us the mysteries of God are all about
Christ.
They're all about Christ. They're all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Christ, it was a title, right? It means anointed ones, same as Messiah in Hebrew. So he's Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Mm-hmm. That's why oftentimes we call him Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's all about him is the mystery of God. One more text, 1 Timothy. Lourdes, 1 Timothy 3. Same author, Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 3, 14 through 16. We're talking about the fact that we're stewards, not just of our money and our house and even our influence, but this truth about Jesus.
Okay, and I will be reading from the New King James Version. 1 Timothy 3, 14 to 16. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you might know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory.
Now, I don't know how many words that is in English. Of course, this was not written in English, but in Greek. But whatever language you speak in your part of the world, you can count them up. That is a short summary of the mysteries of God. Yes. Right there. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Just that little collection, starting God was manifested in the flesh. Carl, does that remind you of a Bible text? God was manifested in the flesh?
Yeah, I think in a previous study in this series, we talked about John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
The Word who is our Creator
became
flesh and dwelt among us. And what was His name?
Jesus.
Jesus of Nazareth, born of a virgin, right? Mm-hmm. We, John says, the disciple, we behold His glory.
Amen.
The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And here it says, this mystery is all about that one, God manifested in the flesh. It's really quite amazing. Well, what are we supposed to do with that mystery? Jonathan, could you read for us in Romans chapter 10? Anybody think we should keep it to ourselves?
No.
What does it mean to be a steward? Well, we talk, an unfaithful steward, Stephanie, would do what with the resource?
Probably just keep it to themselves.
Keep it to themselves? Waste. Remember the word waste? Yeah. They'd waste it.
Yeah.
What would a faithful steward do? Well, Jonathan, let's hear from Romans 10.
All right. Rereading from the New King James Version, verse 13 to 17. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
All right. Anybody here been on a mission trip? Mm-hmm. All right. Several of you. All right. Why would your feet be described as beautiful? Please do not take your shoes off. Why? Why does it say they're beautiful feet?
Because they are preaching the good news.
That because they're sharing the good news?
Because you share the most beautiful thing that happened to you.
That's right. You're using your feet to get to someone who needs to hear about the, what do we read? About the what? About the mysteries of God. And the mysteries of God are not someone. Let me tell you some secret equation that's going to tell you when the next solar.
No.
The mysteries of God are all about
Jesus.
They're all about Jesus. And so we want to share that. Jonathan?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I mean, it requires going. I mean,
that's what the feet are for,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you have to go somewhere, and so many times it's tempting to stay in our comfort. And so by going out where people, real people are in need of that knowledge, it's beautiful. Yeah.
It's beautiful. That's right. One more text before we talk about being stewards not only of the mysteries of God, but the gifts of God. Eric, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9. Interesting comment that Paul makes. We're reading a lot from the Apostle Paul today in our study. 1 Timothy, writing to a young preacher, chapter 3 and verse 9.
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, and says, they must be committed to the mystery of the mystery of the faith now revealed, and must live with a clear conscience.
Okay, so you've got the mystery of the faith there, but with a
Pure conscience.
Pure conscience.
Pure or clear conscience. What does that mean? Andre, what do you think?
I believe that it means that we have to practice some form of intellectual honesty, because people can be intellectually dishonest and therefore skew the word. And you can't you know that you lied. You know that you weren't that you didn't operate with integrity. So you're not going to have a clear conscience in doing so. So hopefully we share the word in honesty, practicing intellectual integrity, and not tainting it with our own issues and beliefs.
All right. Mm. So if I said to you, I'll tell you the mysteries of God if you give me, would that be a defiled conscience, wouldn't
Absolutely.
It?
Yep.
Yes, Kyle?
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the verse before. It says, you know, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. Mm. And I'm thinking, you know, of course, none of us are worthy to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. We're all broken human beings. We're all sinners saved by grace. And but, you know, when we live as Christ wants us to live, when we live with a pure conscience, there's a fire that God puts in our heart to really share with others. That, you know, when we're struggling with sin or things like that in our lives, it compromises our ability to share. Mm. You know what I mean? So when I'm really living right with God, God then fills me with His Spirit to want to share with others. Making the right choices in my own life makes it possible for me to share in ways that I couldn't otherwise, that makes sense.
And part of the pure conscience is, like David, if I mess up, I kneel down and say, what was that beautiful text? Anybody remember?
Create.
Thank you, Carrie. Say it out loud. Create in me.
Clean heart.
Clean heart.
Renew a right spirit.
Oh God, and?
Renew
a right spirit within me. And I can get up from that and not say, well, God can't use me anymore. No. I can go now with a pure conscience,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Because he's forgiven me. He's cleansed me.
Yes.
And I can say, praise you for your grace. Why are you so excited about God's grace? Answer, because I'd be completely lost without it.
Amen. Exactly.
Right?
Amen.
So there's this beautiful awareness that we're not playing games, are we?
Absolutely.
Integrity. And, you know, I talked about, I'll tell you the mystery if you send me money, but there are people who do that.
Yeah. That is true.
Wow.
Gospel for sale. Mm-hmm. It's not for sale.
Yeah.
And that's not beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful when we come and say, I've been given a free gift and I just want to share it with you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we're not only gifts, stewards of the mysteries of God, we're also stewards of some gifts that God gives us by His Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I want to look at a few verses that talk about those gifts. Anybody hasn't read yet? I give an opportunity. Tigis, would you read for us from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. We're talking now about some what we actually might call spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. These are gifts given by the Spirit for a special purpose.
And I'll be reading from the New International Version, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him, the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know if you ever thought about, you hear about these spiritual gifts like the gift of apostle or evangelist or teacher, the gift of healing, the gift of mercy, all of these different gifts. I don't know if you ever thought about that that's actually a stewardship issue.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Hmm.
If you have the gift of mercy, and you don't ever go and visit people who are hurting or people in a nursing home who feel abandoned, or you don't ever go and show that mercy, you're not
wasting.
You're wasting. That's the word, isn't it, Nicole?
You're wasting.
Say it again louder.
You're wasting.
Yeah, you're wasting that gift. Mm-hmm. Not only stewards of mystery, that's the knowledge about Jesus. But the gifts, the Holy Spirit gifts, need to be used. Yeah. Now, we could look at that. Romans 12 has more, 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to read others. But I want to go to Ephesians, Stephanie, chapter 4, if you'd read for us. That Paul has a lot to say about using your gifts, but it was a new insight for me that's faithful steward. Faithful steward. Accountability for using the gifts he's given. All right? Would you start with verse 7? Of Ephesians 4, and then look at verses 11 through 16.
Sure. I'll be reading from the King James Version. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Mm-hmm. Now, you notice how it started in verse 7 of chapter 4. How many people receive these gifts?
Each one.
Would it be fair to say, Sean, just like the parable with the 5 talents and the 2 and the 1, that some may be given more spiritual gifts?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Possible, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's always dangerous to leave out passages because I left out 1 Corinthians 12, but it says there the Holy Spirit gives to each one as he wills.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we all have at least one gift, mm-hmm. But some may be given more than one gift. The Apostle Paul had the gift of teaching, but he may have also had the gift of apostle. He may have had the gift of healing. There may have been many gifts that God gave to him. Yeah. So I want to ask you, how do you find out what gift? You want to be a faithful steward, right?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
So how do you find out what gift the Holy Spirit has given you as a follower of Jesus? Anybody want to? How could you find that out?
Well, prayer.
Prayer? That's a great place. Sometimes we skip the obvious, and at the end we go, I don't know what to do. Maybe I should pray. So you're saying,
listen. Getting out and doing it.
Yeah.
Getting out and doing it.
All right. So I start and I pray, and I'm thinking, God, I think you've given me the gift of hospitality. Mm-hmm. I'm going to invite some neighbors over for a healthy meal and talk to them about how God's leading their lives. So pray, get out and do it.
Amen.
How else can I? Yes, Tigis?
Sometimes when in a group of people, for example, you're asked to pray and you didn't know that you have a gift of prayer. And the people tell you you actually have a gift of prayer. And so people will tell you that you're gifted in a certain way. You probably do it, but you do not know it.
The opposite could also happen. Right? Someone might say, I think I have the gift of teaching. And I'm going to go and study, you know. Well, study is always good, but they stand up and you go to them afterwards and say, brother, I know you love Jesus. I think you have the gift of helps. I've seen you very active in helping people, but I'm not seeing the gift of teaching there, right? Mm-hmm. But what Tigist is saying is sometimes we may be surprised.
Right.
Somebody mm-hmm. walk up and say, I think God has given you the gift of prayer. And you might say, who, me?
Yeah.
No, she's the prayer warrior. And they say, no, I think God's given you the gift. So we've got three important elements, which actually are the three most important elements that I know. One is to pray.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There may be one in between, maybe one before the prayer. But prayer, go out and do it, and then listen to the feedback of godly people who say, we really saw God at work when you were at that health clinic, you know, extending the healing ministry of Christ. Might there be one right even before prayer? Lavinia?
I don't know that this would be considered before prayer, but reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will impress you, and there's a reason why. There's such a variety of different Bible characters.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will bring conviction to your heart, and you will realize that you identify more closely with one than another Bible character than others. Sure. And you will see the pattern of their lives, their strengths and abilities, and perhaps you'll say to yourself, oh, that's similar to what I think I tend to do better at than, you know,
than something else.
Than something else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think reading the Bible and discovering through their lives, you know, what commonalities you have might be another way.
That's great. Right. Okay. Sierra's right in both, because you got to pray before you read the Bible too, right?
Yeah.
But if you pray and then you read, and you could read the narratives. That's very interesting. You could also read these passages like Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, that have a list of gifts, and you go, no. Oh,
maybe.
Yeah. And then you
pray.
And then you
do it,
and then you
hear feedback.
You hear feedback. Does that make sense?
Right.
It's pretty practical, really. Yes, Andre.
Henry J. Blackaby has a book called Experiencing God. And in the book, he says, look around at what God is doing and join in. Sometimes we can learn the gifts that God has given us by actually looking at the needs that are around us and participating. And therein, we might find not only a passion, but an aptitude, an ability mm-hmm. to do certain things.
And that is a very profound insight. And I believe that with all my heart, that we shouldn't just take spiritual gift seminar tests and say, I think I have this and this. But if the Spirit, we've talked about this in the studies, something not just in this series, if the Spirit says, I want you to do that, the Spirit can
enable you.
Enable you. That He can gift you because He's called you. Yeah. All God's biddings are His enabling. So don't wait around and say, I can't do that. I know the Holy Spirit's asking me, but I took this survey and it's not on there. It's like He could give me that gift, right? Mm-hmm. Kyle?
I just had to say that I know there might be somebody that's thinking, man, I don't know what my gift is, and I don't feel like I'm gifted. Mm-hmm. I just want to encourage him to say, God has given you a gift.
Yes.
Even if it's just
one. That's biblical.
Yeah. Even if it's just one. God has given you a gift. And the other thing I wanted to say is, there may be times, I think what you're saying is absolutely true, like maybe you realize that that's not your gift, but there may be times when, like, let's say, like for me, the first time I ever preached, it was absolutely terrible. Yeah. The worst sermon ever preached. And I'm still not, I mean, I still like preaching sometimes, but I will just say this, don't be discouraged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the first time you use your gift, it doesn't always turn out the way you want it to, because God is working on all of us, so.
Well, I can give my testimony. For 3 months when my wife was in nurses training, finishing up her training, I worked as a chaplain on three cancer floors at a hospital in Chicago. And I received some training. It was very, very helpful. And I learned as much about myself as I did about how to care for dying people. Mm-hmm. But I must say that by the end of that 3 months, I knew that God had not called me to do that for my whole life. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, right?
Yes. Yeah.
God may give someone else that gift and may say, I want you to teach young people about Jesus, you know,
amen.
The ones that can stand and breathe,
you
know, and that's a different gift. But I like what you said about he may have only given you one, but I'm hearing Andre say, but you may get more if you step out as the Spirit calls you.
True. Take the opportunities.
And you take.
And once you take one, they just keep coming.
You sounds like you've experienced.
Oh my goodness! Like he was saying, the my first sermon was awful, but you just kept going, and it got better and better. So
God, He helps you develop the gift.
Yeah. He does.
Yeah, sure. Nicole.
Well, I was just going to say that it's interesting that we're talking about opportunity, and I think that we should be very aware of our opportunities around us, because I think the Holy Spirit puts us in situations where He's trying to enable us and give us those gifts that He needs for that time. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very important for us.
We got to move on to another passage, but hopefully we'll have some time at the end. But I think you've really challenged us with saying when He presents an opportunity, He could say, I'm going to give you a gift if you'll have the courage to just follow my leading.
Amen.
But I need to take you to Matthew 25, 19 through 30, because I forget who mentioned this earlier, the word accountability. I don't know if it was Tigas said there's accountability there. As stewards of the resources given, including stewards of the mysteries of God, the truth about Jesus, stewards of the gifts of God that the Holy Spirit's given, for that. And that's not like an axe over your head. It's just saying, don't waste it. Mm-hmm. Don't waste those things. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look. And Nicole, could I ask you to read Matthew 25, verses 19 through 30? And then I'd like any of you to think, in the minutes we have remaining, some promises that would encourage you as you think, wow, we are accountable. Okay, Jesus. We're going to trust you, and we're also going to trust your promises for us. What promise might come to your mind that would be an encouragement? But first, Matthew 25, 19 to 30.
And the New International Version says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Mm. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Mm. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
That's a sad ending. What is the problem with this? We call him the one talent servant who only had 20 years wages given to him with trust. What's his problem from reading this text, Sean?
The perspective he had of his master.
Yeah. Yes.
He just, when you have the wrong perspective of God, it then puts you in this state where you kind of curl in on yourself and you're like, I can't do anything for him because he's so harsh and he's probably going to judge me if I do it wrong, which is the complete opposite where he wants you to step out and, like, you know, we've been hearing, he's going to empower you and he's going to forgive you if you do make mistakes. You know, you just ask for it and to push you forward to do his will.
So Sean says the real problem is not that he only had one bag of gold in that translation or one talent, 6,000 days wages. That's not the problem. The problem was his relationship. And yet, Nicole, God still, the Lord still gave him, what does that tell you? He still gave him a talent, 20 years wages, a bag of gold, and entrusted him with that. What does that tell you?
That the Lord wants us to succeed. He wants us to do his bidding, and he's willing to work with us wherever we are, and he knows our abilities, and so he gives us what we need to be able to be successful for him.
He knew he couldn't handle five, right?
He definitely couldn't.
But he gives him, couldn't handle two, couldn't handle one. But he gave him the opportunity.
He did.
Right?
He did.
He gives each one the opportunity. But I really want to affirm what Sean said, that it's a relationship problem.
Yeah.
If the relationship is fractured and we don't understand a God who loves us, and I don't know if you noticed the commendation for both of the others. Did you notice there were several words there that were repeated?
You're my good and faithful servant.
Good and faithful. And there was another word later.
Joy.
Joy. Thank you.
Happiness.
So who said joy? Joy. I don't know. It came from that way. Joy. Yes. What does God want for his children?
Joy.
He wants joy.
Amen.
And this, take this for the lesson. How do we experience joy according to this narrative? There are many ways, of course, we experience joy. But one way is by being faithful stewards, right? Stewards of the resources, both tangible and intangible. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the gifts of God. That when we join him, because we know he loves us and we love him, we experience
joy.
So give me some promises. He's like, oh, I'm going to take this promise with me as I join him in his work. What one comes to your mind?
The first one that pops into my head is Philippians 4:13.
All right. Can you quote it or do you want to read it?
I could quote it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13.
Yeah.
So you're going to bring that. That's a good promise when you don't think you can do it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, another promise. Anybody have a promise?
Mark 4:19, and it to paraphrase it, says,
follow. Quote it for us?
Yes, follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
All right, so you see that as a promise.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Another promise. Kyle?
Going back to Philippians 4, verse 19, one of my favorite promises in the Bible.
You want to read it?
Sure.
All right, give us a moment to find it. Philippians chapter 4.
And verse 19.
Philippians is one of my favorite New Testament books. Lots of great promises there. But 4:19, what does it say?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Some people sit around, they don't want to work, and they said, it says God will supply all of my needs. This is actually talking in the context of joining him as his faithful worker. Amen. He's going to give you everything you need.
Amen.
Wisdom, strength, lots of promises. Anyone else have a promise?
Yes.
I see two hands in the front. Let's start. Tigas, a favorite promise. We're talking here about being faithful stewards, knowing that he wants us not to be wasteful, but faithful, right? Amen. All right?
Jeremiah 29:11.
And would you like to read that for us?
Okay.
All right, we'll have to find it.
Jeremiah 29:11.
29 and verse 11. And what translation?
New International Version. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
So I'm not here again. I'm not against you. Sean, that's kind of what you shared with us earlier, isn't it? God is not against us.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not here to harm you, give you a future and a hope. I have time for one more promise as we go as faithful stewards, and you're going to have to quote it. We don't have time to read it, so tell me one if you know it by heart.
Oh, I have it right here. I can.
We don't have time to turn to it, so just tell us what it says.
Basically that, do not be afraid that God is with you wherever we go.
All right. Amen. Do not be afraid. God is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
I want to hear your favorite promise. As we go out as faithful stewards, we looked in the Old Testament. These things don't belong to us. We're given responsibility. We're trusted because God loves us. What promise encourages you as you take not only your tangible resources, but you're a steward of the mystery of God and the gifts of God to go out and bless the lives of those around you eternally with the message you have? Write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. I'd like to hear your favorite promise that encourages you. And right now, I want to pray that we wouldn't just have studied about these things, but that we would live them by the power of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this remarkable study, for inspiring us with the idea that you've not only given us mysteries to be stewards of the mysteries of God, but gifts, and even more gifts will come as we hear your call and follow you. Oh, Lord God, give us courage to trust that you love us so much. You will only lead us in the best way. May we follow and may others be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. What an amazing journey. You know, I'm inspired to be a faithful steward of the Lord Jesus. He's given us mysteries to share, gifts to use. Go out in the name of Jesus. Be a blessing to those around you.